The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Always from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin still to come this hour. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke will get his thoughts on the World Series. Adam Burke, VSiN Managing Editor. Adam Burke, that's a good booking from you, Kelly Bidlin. That's a tough one to get.
He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
Got to call a couple favors in, you know.
Yeah.
Got him on.
Called his people.
Yeah, worked through them.
Talk baseball with him.
I mean, you were questionable today, too.
I was questionable, for sure.
I had to play that.
Yeah, if they still had doubtful, I would have been that, but they took away the category, so I was only questionable.
I like how all the betting services haven't caught up with that yet. So I keep avoiding the question whenever you ask me that. It's like, which sport have we lost? I have no idea because I keep seeing probables and doubtfuls come across my screen.
Oh, you do see some doubtfuls?
Yes, because Don Bess and some of the other betting services use that language still.
Yeah, no. Who was the guy?
I don't know the answer.
We had changed doubtful to Galloway. Kenny Galloway was on the perma doubtful list always. He got his own category. We get tweets at being in the book. I just want to read a couple of these because, Well, first of all, Corey Ager is tweeting in. He says, Dan Lebatard, I missed the joke somewhere along the way. Help me out. No, it's not a joke. We go in the next hour off the DK network. So on DraftKings Network, Dan Lebatard is on there. It wasn't some inside joke.
The part he doesn't know is we're on the DraftKings Network for the first hour.
That's right. Yeah. We're on the DraftKings Network for the first hour. And so for the DraftKings Network people, they get Lebatard in the second hour. For the VSiN people, we are the second hour.
We have
a lot of inside jokes on this show, but that was not one of them. What's the Lebatard joke?
Actually, kind of is. That person's just in on the inside now. He's too close to the sun.
So I made the comment, if you were going to go back and watch old World Series 2011, Rangers Cardinals Game 6, 2001, the entire stretch of games 5 and 6, or actually 4, 5, and 7 for the Diamondbacks and the Yankees might be a place to start. Forrest Lehman says, how about the complete 1986 playoffs? Oh, yes. I wasn't trying to say they were the best of all time. The 86 playoffs, Angels, Red Sox, Donnie Moore, Astros, Mets, chaos, then the epic World Series, best MLB playoff year ever, in my humble opinion. Forrest Lehman, I agree with you. 1986 as an entire postseason body of work was the greatest MLB postseason. I agree. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney of a numbers game at Price Horse, he says, I'm old and biased, but you cannot ignore 2016 when my beloved Cubbies beat the almost as hapless Indians. Game 7 drama was incredible. Madden and Tito wheel spinning. 2016 will always have its own category because the Cubs had the epic, more than a century drought. There's no question about that. Was it 98 years? I believe it was 98 years. Was it 2018 or 2000? Or was it 1918 or 1908? I can't remember now. But anyway,
Before cars,
it was the before
Prohibition. That's my cutoff.
Yeah, before Prohibition. It was. So in that sense, that the Cubbies will always have their moment in time. And I do want to say that Game 7 of that World Series, Rajai Davis of Cleveland ends up hitting a game-tying home run in the ninth before then the weather came in and it gave the Cubs a chance to sort of regroup, and then the Cubs came back and won it. If Cleveland had come back and won that World Series, not only would it have been more Cubs heartache as part of that lore, but that home run from Rajai Davis would have gone down in World Series history as one of the most incredible, off Aroldis Chapman, choking up on his bat, not really a home run hitter, and then it gets lost in history because the Cubs go back and win it.
Yeah, there are three World Series, 1907, 1908, and 2016.
1908, so it was more than a century. Got that part.
A tip of the cap to America, though, that is. We've been around long enough that you could have a single team in the same sport. You got a butt coming.
No, the point of all that is baseball.
Yeah.
People can, we're drunk on football. Football will always be my first love. But there is something about baseball where just it sits in your brain in a way that other sports don't in terms of its history.
Oh, yeah.
Stats are everything, but those moments in postseasons are just something beyond.
And legendary names back in, like, 1908, right? That's like when you had, like, Walter Hairy Legs and stuff like that. I don't know.
Hairy Legs.
Just making up names. That's what you see.
Kelly Bruised Calf Bidlin.
Smoking a cob pipe.
Hey, Michael Bidlin and the bloody calf. Who could forget it? That was a 2023 moment, I think. All right, NFL teaser time. Let's do it.
There you go.
It's teaser time.
You say it better, Ryan. You do. Okay, teaser legs. Yeah, Kelly's got poetic license. You got wongs and non-wongs. What do you got here?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit of everything. This is another big teaser week. I agree with Will. I've only made one, though. All right, let's start it off. Thursday night, Bills laying 8.5 against the Bucks. They are at home for that game.
That's a total teaser leg.
Yeah. Steelers plus 2.5 home against the Jags. Saints plus 1.5 at the Colts. Chiefs laying 8 at the Broncos. Ravens laying 8 at the Cardinals. Chargers laying 8.5 home against the Bears. Lions laying 8 home against the Raiders.
You know how I usually go, okay, what are your two favorite legs?
Yeah.
I love 6 of these 7.
Oh, man. Is it possible you're going to have a bigger teaser week than me?
Yes.
I've only made one. I did the Chiefs Lions, but then I also went, I bet the Lions down to 7, like you did on Monday, too.
Yeah. So if, here's the thing. If I could only choose one that I'm shaky on, I would say the Saints at the Colts. Because I just don't know what the Saints are.
I have no interest in that one.
And I kind of don't know what the Colts are. I kind of don't know what Gardner Minshew is from drive to drive, let alone the Colts as a whole.
Right. Well, I mean, the turnover worthy play percentage for him is astronomical. Other than that,
oh no, there's
the Colts are looking pretty good. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there's another one I don't like the Steelers and the Jaguars. I don't know if I like
no
that.
Interest
either.
No interest. It's all the chalk.
Okay, but all these other 5, you tell me what's going to go wrong on these. Bills down to 2.5 hosting the Bucks. Chiefs to 2 at the Broncos, Ravens to 2 at the Cardinals, Chargers to 2.5 hosting the Bears, Lions to 2 hosting the Raiders. Which of those loses? Any of them? If I say to you one of them, I come to you from the future, yeah, and I say one of them lost, Kelly. Which lost?
Bills.
The Bills lost?
The Bills.
Are they that bad?
Just because of their defensive injuries. And it's not so much as they're that bad, but could Baker, you know, take advantage with some of the wide receivers against the injuries that they have? And then this sputtering Bills offense that we haven't really seen get going the past couple weeks can't get going.
Yeah, I didn't mean it as a knock on the Bucks. I sort of meant it as a collective body of work over the last month for the Bills. Like if they manage to not cover that teaser leg, they truly are a mediocre NFL team for a month now.
I hear you, but I had a lot tied up. I mean, that was a shot. I was stunned by that Patriots result just because I think Patriots are a terrible football team, but they were at home. I mean, that's the huge difference, right?
I love that you did not pick the Chargers down to 2.5 against the Bears.
Well, so this is the ultimate Chargers. This is the ultimate Chargers discussion, right?
Yeah.
Because this is, I think, in theory, Gil, my favorite leg. But, like, you can't possibly sink that much into a Chargers teaser leg because they're the Chargers.
No, hell no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, there's no way.
Like, on just staring at this. And I still like our Lions one best. Like, that's key it into multiple teasers. I would have no problem doing it. That's what I would be doing this week if I didn't lay the 7. Buy that half point on Monday and go down to 7.
So if I had to only pick 2 legs, then I think I'm going. I think I'm going Lions for sure. And then I'm going.
Like, I think the best one's Lions, Chargers,
Chiefs, I think.
Okay. And that's the.
But even that, like, I'm like, okay.
So that's the teaser. That's the one teaser bet I've made.
Lions Chiefs.
Is Lions Chiefs.
Yeah. A lot of great teaser. The point of all this is lots of great teaser legs this week. Will said it. Will alluded to it. He said great teaser week.
Right. I think you could key into the Lions, or if you want to pick a few of these in round robin, I think it's a good way to go too.
Which brings us, since we brought up the Chargers, to Survivor Talk. Now, neither Kelly or I are still in this.
This is the same thing. The same thing applies here.
Yeah. But when I, after week three, I started like doing a little bit of a map, and then I got beat by the Commanders. This was my Chargers week. because I had already used the Ravens. I had already used the Chiefs. But now, and the problem with the Lions is, while charting, you have to save the Lions for not only possibly Thanksgiving, but also possibly the week before Thanksgiving. So that's why it ends up being a Chargers week. And the Bills I would have used already too. So to me, it's a clear Chargers week based on what my entries were left.
Does Brandon Staley get fired if he loses this game?
Great question.
Right. Right.
If we had to go, so we go back to first head coach fired because nobody's been fired. Well, my pick ain't happening. Eberflus ain't going to be the guy anymore. Because I think now, especially with Secret Agent Man, they're like giving him all kinds of accolades at this point. I think Brandon Staley the short shot? Because he probably ought to be. Let's put it this way.
I don't think he is. I think I saw someone tweet the other day that what's his face with the Raiders is.
Oh, McDaniels.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he should be.
Yeah. I think there's a. But I don't think
I don't think Mark Davis has it in his mind to fire him.
I don't think so. I'm with you. I don't think so either.
Whereas the Chargers don't really fire guys. Like
that's
that
the other problem. That's the other problem.
That was the fly in the ointment of the Eberflus thing. It's like the Bears don't fire guys in the middle of the season. But the Staley thing is so.
They don't even start with like the Cowboys.
I use the word incongruent with the baseball regular season juxtaposed against the postseason. Their talent level versus their performance on the field is the most incongruent thing in the world.
And that's not just this year. It's not just last year. I mean, it's.
Let's check the odds on Staley, by the way, on the break.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do that.
We'll do that during the break.
We'll come back. Who's next? We got Borchardt next? No, not Borchardt. Was yesterday.
Jason Weingarten
from under a cloud of smoke, talking some baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Nathan at, Nister 21. Quote, it's hard not to be romantic about baseball, unquote. Not sure who he's quoting, but yes, you're right. That's exactly right.
It's from Moneyball.
Oh, that's from Moneyball.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It is hard not to be romantic.
I don't know if that's it's a Brad Pitt line in there. Yeah.
Huh. Brad Pitt is Billy Bean.
That is It's a good movie. It's got a lot of great cheesy lines like that, though, in moments.
Yeah. The book, as always, so much better than the movie. Scott, New York Mets 16. I'm intrigued by the managerial matchup here. Gil has talked about Bochy's excellence, but what do we know about Lavulo? He's getting lucky, or is he maximizing his team's talents? Arizona has the hitters, and Texas has the power. Brian M. at BR Morian, and he says, what I'm taking from teaser time is the Chargers lose outright this week. Thanks for the confidence there, Brian M. Mark Geiger adds to the baseball romanticizing. He says, every kid I knew dreamt of being that guy who won the series in the bottom of the ninth. Little guys had a chance to be good in bases, and of course, for a Jewish kid like myself, there was Koufax, he said, in the 50s and 60s. NFL was not as big a deal as it is now. Scotty B726, what are the odds on Frank Reich in Carolina? Can he take the trophy from Hackett and Urban? I don't think he's taken any trophy from Hackett or Urban. Urban Meyer, to me, is still the worst coach of our of kind of modern day recent history in the NFL. Kelly did check on faraway places for first coach fired, and the short shot is currently
your boy Ron Rivera, 2-1,
as he should be, by the way. Like, what is it? What does he add?
Staley plus 250. So I don't know.
Staley plus 250.
If you really believe in my theory, just play the Bears money line.
That's right. It's not even as fun as the Bears money line. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. He is the great Jason Weingarten. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Doing very well. You fired up for a Texas Rangers Arizona Diamondbacks World Series?
Yeah, I mean, as fired up as you can be without a ton of money on it. I looked. So it's actually funny. I had a Rangers future. And I thought I had 8.5 to 1 on them to win the World Series. But I kept thinking to myself, 8.5 to 1 seems like
low,
too short of a World Series bet for me. So then I looked, and it turns out it was an AL pennant bet. So
there you go.
That cash.
Mazel tov.
I'm done.
You're done.
I'm done.
You're out. Good for you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Minus 170 on the Rangers, Diamondbacks plus 140 coming back on the series at DraftKings. And when you look at series correct scores, the short shot is Texas to win in 6 at plus 390. The long shot is a Diamondback sweep at 17-1. Is there anything
that's it?
Just 17-1. You're exactly right. It should be way, way longer than that. Is there anything there, either the series price in general or correct score or correct outcome, I should say, in terms of games that you like?
There's this book, Frank B, the great Frank. He recommended it to me. What's it called? It in the book, it's a science fiction book, but the guy goes back in time and the Dodgers Yankees World Series, I forget the year, it's 1950s or something, Dodgers sweep the Yankees. He makes all his money betting like 100-1 going back in time.
Wow.
But yes.
And we're only getting 17.
That's like, yeah, it's called like Relativity or something. It's a great book. But anyway, that got me thinking of 17-1. Like, that's the underdog here, 17-1. You know, I mean, we could talk a whole bunch about how Arizona probably doesn't really even truly deserve to be here. And we can use arbitrary endpoints to the end of time to kind of cut up their season. But I'm going to use just one endpoint I saw this morning, May 23rd onward. Arizona went 55-58. Like, that's crazy. They're in the World Series. I think I truly don't think we are understanding how unlikely the fact that they're here is, you know, it's really shocking.
Oh, I spelled it out in the first segment, my friend. They lost 25-32 at one stretch, but the real objective way that I put it was, let's just talk about run differential. You do two things in baseball. You score runs and you prevent runs. And there's only been 11, including the Marlins and Diamondbacks of this year, 11 clubs that have ever made the postseason with a negative run differential. And three of them were in 2020, which doesn't count because that was the pandemic shortened year. And so there's really been 8, and only one of them have ever made the World Series. And that was the 87 Twins, who won it all. So that is really the most objective way to look at how historically anomalous this Diamondbacks team is. And when we went through, just forget that if you don't like history, just think about the season. Not only did they lose 25-32, but the Cubs had to lose 15-22. The Cubs had to have, you know, a duffed fly ball against the Braves that cost them a game, which is the full one game that they finished behind the Diamondbacks in the standings. You know, they were down 3-0 to the Brewers twice. By the way, if you're in Milwaukee's front office right now, you're just pounding your head on the desk. Like, I cannot believe we did not beat this team either of those games. On the other hand, Jason, so all these things happened, but good on them, right? Good on them.
My thought at this point, it's not to say that Diamondbacks are going to win or lose the World Series, is we just had two game sevens, got great championship series. All you can ask for.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the World Series is a bit of a letdown after back-to-back game sevens. If this ends in five games, wouldn't surprise me.
Well, so there's a couple things. One, back to the fact of the, you know, I had the Phillies and I had the Astros. Both of those teams had these series on their rackets, to use the tennis term. They have no excuses. And the Diamondbacks, especially at Philly, right? And the Rangers came in and took it to them. And quite frankly, there wasn't even that much drama. You know, it didn't go down to the wire in either of them. So there's that. And I don't know. I mean, you might be right, but the championship series were the first really good series we had in this postseason, right? So I'm hoping we kind of deserve a good World Series, because remember, the wild card and the division series were horrible, really.
Yeah. I mean, the championship series really bailed out the perception of this playoffs.
Yeah.
But again, it wouldn't surprise me if the World Series is a little bit of a letdown after that. There's only, okay, you know, like, so, I hope it delivers.
So no thought? You don't think you're going to have a single bet on this?
Oh no. I mean, I'll bet every game, you know, there's still will be betting. It just, at this point, it's like Do you really like the series price? Like,
can you convince yourself
to bet Arizona on the series line?
I can't.
Yeah, I can't do it. I gotta attack it game by game.
Game by game. And right now, in terms of game by game, what do we have? We have Arizona and Texas as a placeholder game one with right around the same line as the series price, but we do not know who the game one pitchers are exactly at this point. Are we going to,
we don't.
Yeah. The problem is that this is and I brought this up with Arizona, the fact that Brandon Pfaadt, and I know obviously, the MVPs typically come from the offensive side, but really the sneaky MVP of this series was Brandon Pfaadt, because he in games 3 and 7, the way that those pitches were moving, like out of nowhere, this dude had a north of 5 ERA, and by the way, his advanced stats were north of 5 too all year long. So wasn't
Marte won the MVP, right? I turned it off before the
Marte won the MVP, and of course in the American League was Adolis Garcia. Would you make an MVP bet for the World Series?
The problem with Adolis winning it is now there's no value on him, and if you've learned anything from me over the years on this show, it's always bet the Cubans.
that's right.
Have I not made all this money on Yordan and Soler and I don't even know who else, but
there is one other Jason Weingarten truism through the years, which is you love yourself some Corey Seager. So there is that.
Well, and but he's the favorite. You get like 5-1, 6-1 on him. It's not very exciting.
No.
Might talk myself into Adolis. Might talk myself into some Lourdes Gurriel. But this is kind of one of those markets where the favorites are the favorites for the reason. Maybe Christian Walker. I like a guy who could hit a lot of home runs. He hits bats in the middle of that lineup. He's a power hitter. If D-backs win the series, maybe he does something big. So maybe I'll make that my pick, Christian Walker.
Christian Walker, 20-1 at DraftKings, 20-1 as your World Series MVP. If there was
only kind of exciting.
If it was a pitcher, because, there was some notion, like if Zach Wheeler had done something amazing yesterday and he went 3-0, maybe he would have gotten it. Didn't happen. If there is a pitcher, who would it be for you? Anyone? You got 20 seconds.
Merrill Kelly, maybe. I don't know.
Merrill Kelly. Always 40-1.
You want a guy who's going to pitch a lot of innings. You have two starts, basically. So,
well, Jason,
not my favorite market.
Enjoy. The World Series begins Friday night. Thank you, sir.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you later.
Jason Weingarten. We'll come back. Some NBA live betting strategies next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can get $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, Kelly Vidlin in the Hizzy Bar Canada here at the D. See the Mad Dog Russo stuff? Chris Russo? Said if the said if the Diamondbacks win Game 6 and 7 in Philadelphia, he is going to retire on the spot. I don't know if he said on the spot, but he said he's going to retire.
Someone says.
So well, the Diamondbacks. I don't know if you know this. Newsflash: they won Game 6 and 7 in Philly. So this morning, Mad Dog Russo has qualified it. He has said, "I meant radio." So he's like, it was only radio I was talking
about. Yeah, ESPN just discovered him.
So
up-and-coming radio.
So he says it has nothing to do with TV. He said it only applied to radio. And then he went on the Howard Stern show this morning, and Howard Stern had some more creative suggestions as to how he could remain on radio by suggesting things that we can't share here. But one had to do with his old partner, Mike Francesa, and the other one had to do, a typical Howard Stern kind of thing, wear a bikini, walk down the street.
Yeah.
Carrying a sign that makes fun of himself. I won't say what the sign will say.
Stern, great. Mad Dog's awesome. He's a legend. There's
Mad
no
Dog and Francesa are sports talk radio gods.
There's a lot of this. The people have different opinions on those guys, Mike and Mike, stuff like that. I'm not really sure I'd be sitting here today if it wasn't for people like that. So it's
I
respect.
Well, you put Mike and Mike in the same sentence.
I mean, for some of us that came up in, through the ESPN radio route, like is...
Wow. The Mad Dog...
I'm not putting them in the same sentence. I'm just saying as far as how sports radio transformed over the years.
Mike Francesa, Mad Dog in New York. You know, because they thought that bringing in like national people like Greg Gumbel would be the answer in New York sports talk radio. But and it wasn't. No one cared. But as soon as they put in authentic New Yorkers on the air in New York, talking like anybody in New York would about New York sports. Oh, man.
I know multiple guys in the business with us that are here simply because of what you just laid out. They grew up in New York listening to Mad Dog and Mike and they just loved it.
You know, earlier we said if you want to spend any time today going back and watching old World Series, watch these things. If you ever wanted to go back and listen to old sports talk radio, listen to like Mad Dog and Francesa interviewing Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
George, I'm talking about on the air live. Could you imagine that? It's incredible. Incredible stuff.
I did.
So he's trying to get out of both now.
I did stumble upon someone on Twitter yesterday putting a lot of Mike Francesa's stuff slowed down, like at half speed, like edited.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like it's unfair because you could do this to anybody and they sound drunk, but it was that. It's just like, doesn't sound good.
All right. This is, can I refer to the NBA as your league, Kelly? Can I do that? What's up with your league? Your league is something else.
Hey, we're getting underway. We got a lot of games tonight. A lot of games. This is Wembanyama debut night. Are you kidding me?
I cannot wait.
I don't have a single bet on him.
You don't have a bet.
I don't have a season long bet. I don't have a game bet.
Let's get on record here with this.
Yeah.
Which of these awards do you think he ends up with? How do you think the season goes? And does he win awards? And if so, which one?
Okay. So I'm glad you're asking me this because you know I've been caught up in Wembanyama fever as much as anybody, right? I love him. I was at the games he was out
you
here.
You and I both went to both games in Vegas.
Somehow.
Well, we went to the Summer League one, shows. But then the one year ago with Ignite.
Right, correct.
Scoot versus Wembanyama.
Yeah, so we saw those.
How great is that arena, by the way?
It really is.
Dollar Loan Center Arena, which is like 4,000 people.
And don't get me wrong. The Thomas and Mack setup for Summer League is great, too. But that arena is even better.
Think about that experience, though. Like one day, let's say Wembanyama and Scoot become these massive stars. We will actually be able to say one afternoon some lazy afternoon in Vegas in a 4,000 seat arena, which was empty.
I was going to say where there was like 200 people.
Where like VEASAN employees might have been 20% of the fans. We saw Wembanyama play Scoot just randomly on some random afternoon.
Yes, I think one day you're going to be saying that, and it's going to sound pretty incredible.
And I believe my comment after that was my grandmother could have figured out who the best player on the floor was. Yeah. So what do you think?
I think Wemby's going to have an incredible NBA career. I'm holding myself off of any bets right now that are directly tied into him, either award wise or Spurs.
Oh, you did not bet defensive player.
No, I did not bet that. I think that there's a couple things. I think that Wemby will be brought along slowly at whatever speed he needs to be. Now, I think he's, from all accounts, even further along than I would have guessed, just simply coming from the EuroLeague. You're playing more minutes. This is still stiffer competition. Like, I think there's going to be a ramp-up period, especially with him.
Do you think he'll have embarrassing moments early?
Yes. I think he'll have embarrassing moments, and I think he will absolutely embarrass star players in the NBA, too.
That goes both ways.
I think there are going to be guys like Steph Curry who sit there and say, psh, close out on this, boom, and then oh my god, that guy just blocked it. Like there are going to be a lot of those moments.
But no bets from you on him.
Okay. Yeah, no bets. I think the minutes that he plays, especially as we start the season here, are going to be way less, but like they're going to be less per game than what you're seeing out of Scoot and out of Brandon Miller and guys and Chet Holmgren and guys like that. I think they are going to be less minutes that you're going to see. His role a little undefined, and then I don't want to say this guy's going to get hurt. I'm not saying that. Just reminder on almost all of these awards, you got to play 65 games now, too. So there's a much finer line for these guys. Like, there's going to be star players that just don't qualify for awards this year.
Here is the latest in the James Harden drama. This is from Chris Haynes at Bleacher Report and at TNT. First of all, he said 45 minutes ago, he's like, Sixer star James Harden is expected to travel with the team to Milwaukee today, but will not play on Thursday against the Bucks. Okay. And then he came back with this. Sixers may decide James Harden remaining in Philadelphia to continue ramp-up process is the best course of action, but the guard is prepared to travel. The ramp-up process. You want to define that for me? The ramp-up process? How does one see a ramp-up process for this guy?
I think it starts with getting stop drinking and going to strip clubs at night, and then getting a gym, and there you're already starting to ramp up.
Good God. All right, let's just talk about this real quick, because, again, Primetime Action, which you, me, and Matt Brown did for 2 years here at the network, you know, we were on the air when all kinds of sports were being played. We had, you know, what were we? We had the first halves that went bad, and then we'd go home, and all of our bets would come through anyway in the second halves of football games. Like, that's what it always felt like. But basketball, I think we live bet basketball more than anything, because there's more games. Just a few tenets of live betting basketball, and I guess it would start with... when you have pre-flop conviction and a team falls down, or if it's a favorite and they fall way down, you always consider a bet at that point.
Yeah, and this was something I wrote about in the NBA guide, but it really was. It was a lot of what, you know, obviously we all had our kind of own live betting strategies, but I thought Primetime Action was such a great show here, because you, Matt, and I even getting aligned on some of, you know, cultivating some of these strategies that we kind of, you know, we really stood by and bet by these strategies. So I think NBA is great because it's you get such, it's a high paced game. You get a lot of possessions. That's where it starts, obviously. And then there's so much with the shooting percentages, right? We always used to talk about that, where you saw last night. I mean, Lakers and Nuggets is a good example. Lakers, you know, in that start of that second quarter, they were shooting like crap, did make up a bit of that gap before Nuggets pulled away again in the end.
Never a guarantee that it regresses within the same game, but
exactly. Yeah. Never a guarantee. Nothing ever is, but usually when you see a team that gets off to 60% from the field and 50% from three, and another team shooting 40% from the field and 22% from three, those two are usually going to regress both sides. And you're going to have some opportunities to get in on much better numbers than we would have been able to do pregame. So
the only thing that I'll say is as a football and baseball in-game better, right? Mm-hmm. The thing that I love about football is you can manipulate the 2-for-1s at halftime.
Yes. Yep.
And in baseball, I can manipulate it based on lineup. Mm-hmm. Basketball, you don't have either of those two things.
No, you don't. You don't. I think there's also, like, this is another one, just like any sport, though. It's the, if you're just getting into live betting, track this stuff. You need to see how lines move game to game. How do they move when a team takes a 10-point lead, a 15-point lead, based off of what kind of favorite they were, right? We always used to talk about that all the time, but if I'm getting in live in the game, it's usually getting in somewhere second quarter, beginning midway through the second quarter, and I'm usually cutting off anything that I'm getting in live on by like end of the third quarter.
Are you tracking like a team like the Warriors, who has a certain, you know, historically they'd have a certain team in the second quarter, then they'd come out fire. Like last night, they had a great third quarter again, 40-19 edge over the Phoenix Suns last night.
So that's a huge one. If you can track that stuff, I usually make notes at the beginning of the season with that stuff as we go along. I think it's one that you're always going to have a few teams that you do have figured out and you kind of know what their rotations are going to be. I will always caution people on that, though. I think there's, some people do a lot of work of figuring that out early in the season and then kind of, you know, really make bets based off of that. And whatever happens in a game can switch that up entirely. I've seen people get burned on it. So I say it's always good to know, have an idea for how different rotations work, but don't be completely reliant.
Did you ever track coaches who foul down up three late in games and jump in then? Or is that too risky for you?
I mean, we always have a couple in mind,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Just things to think about. Adam Burke on the other side. Multisports next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get the daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. $10. That's United States currency at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. And ladies and gentlemen, he is quite the get because he's a hard guest to book. And the reason for that is that he's always super duper busy. He's our own VSiN managing editor, Adam Burke. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm good. It's slowly but surely winding down a little bit now that Major League Baseball is pretty much over with.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Major League Baseball momentarily, but I want to just sort of get people onto the fact that the college basketball guide is about to be ready. You were heavily involved in that. How'd that go?
Well, the college basketball guide came out on Monday. So previews of all 32 conferences. We got Matt Youmans' top 25. We got some other feature articles about the Wooden Award for the best player in the country, about who will be this year's Florida Atlantic. Will there be that, you know, Cinderella team that rattles off 30 wins in the regular season and carries it on over to the postseason? Will we have one of those this year? Steve Mackinnon doing his usual thing with some systems, returning production statistics, just a lot of good stuff in that guide to get you ready for the season. And honestly, we trimmed it down a bit this year, made it more efficient, made it more consumable for everybody. 104 pages, and we hit all 32 conferences, plus those feature articles and some futures and best bets. So I encourage everyone to sign up over at vsin.com/subscribe so you can get that college basketball guide. And of course, Greg Peterson, a huge hand in that, and will be our go-to college basketball guy throughout the season.
Greg Peterson, who has encyclopedic knowledge of all of Division I college basketball squads, north of 300 of them. You can name any school and he can rattle it off. What was your favorite thing about it? If you could cite one thing that you're like, this is a really cool thing we did.
So I think the way that we approached it was really smart because we did individual team previews for all of the 10 major conferences and then the 22 other conferences. We did an overview, kind of looking at the big picture, because the reality of it is when you talk about college basketball with a transfer portal, with all the, you know, coaching carousel, you know, transactions and all of that, it's very hard early on in the year to get a feel on these teams. So instead, what we kind of did was to focus on, you know, new coaches and how teams may play, which teams lost a lot from the previous season that could get off to a slow start, stuff like that. This isn't going to be your deep dive roster analysis of every single team. This is going to be, hey, here are your starting points. Let's see what happens when the games begin. So I think that's a really smart way that we did it. And again, makes it much more approachable and much more consumable for the reader with, you know, now I think 11 days until college basketball season starts.
And much more betting applicable, right? Like in the end, that's what we're trying to do with our guides. And no one has had a bigger hand in all of them than Adam Burke. So college basketball guide again, vsin.com/subscribe. Okay, you brought up baseball. Diamondbacks and the Rangers. You are, if nothing else, a baseball first kind of guy. Your thoughts on all of this, Adam?
Well, I'll say this as a three-time Diamondbacks doubter here in the playoffs. I had Brewers minus 1.5 in the wild card, Dodgers series price, Phillies series price. So I've been against them three times. Maybe I've just learned a really painful and expensive lesson about what we all knew about the Major League Baseball playoffs. Variance sometimes rules. And the Diamondbacks were not a very good team. They were 32-39 in the second half. They have a negative run differential. If they win the World Series, they'll be the second team ever to win with a negative run differential, the 1987 Minnesota Twins, the only other one. So this Diamondbacks team really didn't give us a whole lot of reasons to believe in them. But as you look on a, you know, micro level, on an individual player level, I think pitching coach Brent Strom has done an incredible job throughout the postseason with this team. This was a team that was below league average in ERA, below league average in FIP, but all of a sudden Brandon Pfaadt is like an awesome number three.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Merrill Kelly mixes his pitches so effectively. Zach Gallen, who honestly I think has kind of been a little bit of a weak link for them in the playoffs here. He's had some good starts, but he's also been shaky at times. You know, that's a guy that he really, really did a good job with during the regular season. And now he's kind of, to some degree, carried it over to the playoffs. And the bullpen's been exceptional. So this is a controlled aggression type of lineup for the Diamondbacks. They put a lot of balls in play. They steal a bunch of bases. They put a lot of pressure on the opposing pitcher to control the running game. And all of it has worked for them. And I didn't believe in it. I'm not going to bet them in the World Series, but I'm not going to bet against them in the World Series here either. I've learned my lesson. But here they are again, facing another superior offensive team in the Rangers, where they've already beaten the Dodgers, they've already beaten the Phillies, who were two teams that you could say the same thing about. The Rangers, I mean, look, Nate Eovaldi was awful in September coming back from injury. He's been great in the playoffs. Jordan Montgomery's been good and then had that relief appearance in Game 7. their bullpen is very, very hit or miss. I guess it's the first series where the Diamondbacks aren't at a full-fledged bullpen disadvantage. So I don't know how this thing plays out. I think it's a long series, but I'm just shocked to see the Diamondbacks here. Maybe not so much the Rangers, but definitely the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, I'm smiling, not because I'm poking fun, because I think that's all that is fair. All that is accurate. And I even said, I go, when did Jordan Montgomery become Mad Bum? Before they came back and put him in game seven, which is very specifically Mad Bum related. And I'm with you. And this is just sort of a good lesson for new or newish sports bettors, which is, just because it's the World Series doesn't mean you have to bet it. And this is one of these where I feel the exact same way, Adam. Arizona plus, first of all, Texas shouldn't be a minus 170 favorite, as on paper the advantage seems to be. We've seen this act from the Diamondbacks before, but it doesn't make you want to rush and bet the Diamondbacks a plus 140 either. It's sort of like, hey, maybe this is the proper, you know, some of the best bets are the bets not made, and maybe this applies right here to the World Series.
And I'll say this, you know, one of the reasons why I kept betting against Arizona, I mean, for game one of the wildcard series, they had to send out Fott, and he wasn't good. That was far and away
the
worst start that he's had in the playoffs. But Corbin Burnes just didn't hold up his end of the bargain for Milwaukee. And, you know, their bullpen wasn't able to get it done in that series either. But in the division series and the championship series, both Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly have very stark home road splits. Both of them were substantially better at home than they were on the road. And yet here they are, where they've made it to this point. And again, in games one and games two, you're going to get Gallen and Kelly on the road against a very potent offensive team. So I kind of sound like a broken record with every series preview I write about the Diamondbacks, where the same concerns are always present. And for whatever reason, it doesn't matter.
Yes, I can sense the exasperation.
I love Adam. So I don't want to put this wrong, but again, I just keep going back to the Miami Heat. This was me banging my head against the wall every time with the Miami Heat. And you're like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, let's all enjoy it, right? Because it's baseball and it's going to be history. So let's all enjoy it. And maybe there'll be some bets along the way. All right. College football is the other thing you're intimately involved in. Have any plays this weekend?
I got one on Thursday night that I like. I like Georgia State over Georgia Southern. And this is a play that actually goes against my power ratings. I have this line a little bit higher than what the market has. I actually have Georgia Southern -4.5. But I think it's one of those things where, you know, it's hard to stay on top of everything in the month of October with so much going on, the college basketball guide as well. I think when you look at current form of those two teams, Georgia State's just simply playing better. Georgia Southern quarterback Davis Brin, you know, we had the 5 picks against Wisconsin. Okay, it's the Badgers, so be it. But he's had 4 picks over his last 2 games against Sun Belt competition. So to me, I think that when I handicapped that game and when I wrote up the preview for VSiN.com, I just looked at it and said, you know what? I like Georgia State here in this game. They're playing better. Darren Granger is taking much better care of the football. Defensively, they've been the better team as well. And also, they've won 3 in a row in this rivalry series where, you know, Sean Elliott seems to be a pretty good head coach there for the Panthers. So it's another example kind of, you know, the things that you have to be a little bit flexible with as a bettor. My numbers say one thing, but I go in and look at the handicap and it says another thing. That's something that I really need to think deeply about. Maybe my numbers are right. Maybe Georgia Southern wins and covers comfortably. But if not, then it's even more ammunition for me to make that big adjustment going into week 10. So I like Georgia State in what is a really, really good Thursday night Sun Belt game.
I really wish Adam would stop just stealing my plays. You know, I said the same thing on the show yesterday. You did say same exact thing.
Yeah, it's really plagiarism is what that was. All right, Adam, before you go, give me the Adam Burke college football rankings 1 through 5. What do you got?
Ooh, 1 through 5. I'm going to have to check this here. Cause you know what? The one thing is I when I did my update on Sunday night, I wasn't sure if Quinn Ewers was definitely going to be out. Turns out that he is. So I do have to adjust this a little bit, but my top 5 with the Ewers injury: Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, and then Washington.
Ooh, Oregon, Washington, 4 and 5. Interesting.
No, okay. Seminoles. I noticed Kelly, the team
Bidlin, Kelly Bidlin is offended as an alum. Where you have FSU?
I have Florida State 6, but I got to say, they don't really impress me all that much. They really don't. Sorry, Kelly.
No. Well, Kelly,
it's okay. I don't know if I'm going crazy over him this year either, except for Keon Coleman is amazing. Can't wait to see him.
Did he just say Kelly Bidlin doesn't impress him much? Or he said FSU doesn't impress him much?
Probably both are.
Kelly always impresses.
That's right. He's a very impressive guy. Adam, great to see you. Great to talk to you. And let's try to enjoy the World Series, man.
All right, sounds good. Take care, guys.
My man, Adam Burke, at Skating Tripods on Twitter, VSiN Managing Editor. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.